The call is now recorded. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's DSSA Working Group call on Thursday, the 15th of September. We have Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Micah O'Connor, Sean Copeland, Takeyasu Matsura, Greg Aaron, Jacques Latour, and on the Adobe Connect, we have Mark Costas, Rosella Maccioli as well, and from staff, we have Bart Borswinkel, Julie Headland, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Regrets today, we have from Jim Galvin, Patrick Sandoval, John Levine, Wim de Gesselle, Luis Diego Espinoza, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Jörg Schweiger, Scott McCormick, Subramanian Munasamy, Katrina Sataki. I hope I haven't left anyone off the list, and if I can please remind you to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Mikey.
Sorry, Gisela, this is Bart, and we just received one from an apology from Roy Irons as well.
Lovely, thank you.
And Greg Aaron and Keith Drazik both just jumped into the Adobe room, so I imagine that they'll be joining the call shortly. Welcome. And one last logistical note, the internet connection here at the farm is pretty unreliable today, so I may drop out of the Adobe room, in which case, Mark, are you on the call? No. He's not.
Adobe
room. Okay. Trying to find me a co-chair that I could throw the ball to if I fall off Adobe. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed. It sounds like I'm the only co-chair on the call. Well, our agenda is identical to last week. I apologize for not publishing it. I have been having a lot of connectivity issues and didn't get the mail out. Sorry. So anyway, we're going to do exactly the same thing. What I've got up on the chat room right now is a reminder for you all of Greg's proposed refinement to the scope conversation, which we discussed last week on the call, continued discussing a bit on the email list with my clearly out of scope example. And what we've invoked sort of the two meeting rule on Greg's scope email. And this is our second meeting. If I think what we'll be is a little bit flexible on this two-meeting thing because we've got so many people missing the call today. I think what I'd like to do, if it's okay with the rest of you, is defer the consensus call on this until next week's call. Presumably we'll have more people on
Great.
The call.
Yeah.
It feels a little odd to do the second consensus call on this today, given how sparse the attendance is.
Mikey, this is Bart.
Yes, go ahead.
May I suggest that you send out an email to that to make that clear? I can do it as well, but so everybody's aware this is happening.
Yeah, I will do that. That's a good idea. Start taking my little to-do list notes here so that I don't forget. Because I don't want to get to the point where we get stuck because we don't have enough people on calls to do the consensus stuff. I suppose another way to do it would be to go ahead and treat this as the second consensus call, and then that might serve as a pretty pointed example of why it's a good idea to make all the calls. I think I feel a little uncomfortable doing that, though. Let's wait a week, and I'll send a note, like you said, Bart. So with that, what I'd like to do is go back to the clear this note out of here. I have to do a little – fiddle around with Adobe for a second while I share the document that we're working on. As I say, it takes a lot of clicks to do that. It looks okay from here. I'm going to move us on to sort of the next chunk, because I think we might have a pretty lively discussion about this. This is a pretty unstratified list right now, and what I'd like to do is see if we could get through the direct attacks list today, at least tentatively, with our in or out of scope discussion. And, you know, right at the top of the list, I think, is one that's in scope. We have a ton of information about it. I don't want to... The reason that I'm building such a detailed tree is because when we take one that's in scope, like this DDoS one, I think that detailed tree will be helpful to the people who decide to do to participate in the analysis of any given thing. So panic not. We're not going to write a report with all that stuff in it, but I'm using this as a way to sort of assemble some background materials for the groups that are going to work on this. But if we start with DDoS, I'm assuming that that one is in scope. Anybody want to challenge that notion? And if not, don't you like my crayons? I think they're just cute as a bug. I'm going to put that one in scope. Now the next one, packet interception, is one I'd like to discuss. I don't know. How do people feel about this one? Again, this is a direct attack against the DNS. And there are certainly lots of packet interception attacks, but I'm not sure whether this is one that we need to deal with. And I'm seeing Carlos come in. Lots of people are coming in. I saw, Mark and Jacques wants it in. Mark and so the works for me from Mark, was that for leaving it in or out? Is that, are we talking, the trouble with chat is that it's hard for me to keep track of it, so I don't know where we're at in the discussion. Why doesn't somebody do the raise the hand thing so that I can... Okay, Arturo is... Mark, are you... Oh, you're stuck, too, because you're only able to listen. No mic either. So, tell you what, if... Given that difficulty, why don't we use the thumbs-up, thumbs-down capability? So if you go up on top of your screen, right in the middle of the screen is a little outline of a person raising their hand. And if you click the little gizmo next to it, you can see that you can agree or disagree. And so what we're agreeing or disagreeing about is whether this is in scope. If you think this should be in scope, give us a thumbs up. And carry on from there. I'm seeing some thumbs up and a raised hand. Sean, are you...
Okay, that was my fault. I wanted to do a thumbs up. I apologize.
That's okay. I'm big on learning how this works, so mistakes are just fine. It looks like in scope is the way we're going. So if anybody wants to lobby hard for out of scope, this is your chance. Otherwise, I'll put it in scope. Okay, in scope it is. Okay. Oops. I have to relearn how to do this. There. All right. Let's just keep going on this theme. So everybody clear your little thumb by going back up to that thing in the middle, and just at the bottom, there's a place where you can clear your status. So go ahead and clear your status, Jacques and Takiyasu. There we go. All right, so now we're doing recursive versus authoritative name server attacks, in or out of scope. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Rosella's got it in. Jacques got it in. Cheryl's got it in. Mark's got it in. Sean's got it in. Okay. Same deal. We'll just, I think this is a good way to do it unless people get uncomfortable. If you get uncomfortable, let me know, and I'll either slow down or change the way we're doing this, but seems to be going well. Okay, everybody clear your status. This next one is authority or authentication compromise. This came from Singapore. And again, I think it would probably be safe to say that this is a compromise of a registry or a registrar. Again, thumbs up or thumbs down. I'm seeing thumbs up. The way this is going, maybe what we should do is just look at this list and see if there are any that we want to take out of scope. But we'll still kind of learning what I'm doing here. Dang, nabbit. There. Ah, well, here's a perfect example. So domain name hijacking and theft. That seems like a tasty one. Is that in or out of scope? Mark. Mark's got his hand raised. Oh, thumbs up. In scope. All right. Greg has got it out of scope. I thought you might. Jacques, is that a thumbs up but missed, or do you want to speak? Carlos has got it in scope. Let's have a little debate about
it. It's Jacques here.
Yeah, go ahead, Jacques.
So we're talking about a specific domain name hijacking or a bunch?
I think that what SAC 7 is, well, there's not a whole lot in that little tab, is the...
One domain.
Yeah, I think that this is the act of hijacking or theft. And so it's not, it's one of the things that we've been talking about is using something as an attack vector against registries and registrars. And this is not that. This is the broader case.
So the one before, like, if you have an authority that's compromised, then you have potentially all the domains are hijacked.
Correct.
So that bullet refers to just one, so... Out.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that's probably the reason that Greg is suggesting out of scope. So is Jacques, so is Arturo. Mark and Carlos are for in scope. Rosella is for out of scope. Let's talk to Carlos. About why you would like to see it in scope. And, oh, Cheryl, is your hand up? Do you want to speak? I'm sorry.
Yeah, just briefly, Cheryl, for the transcript record. I just think that when we get to an individual domain name, it has nothing to do with security and stability. It's out of scope. I was fence-sitting, but I needed to say to you all, I'm probably leaning towards the out-of-scope side of the fence rather than anything even... vaguely perpendicular.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to put some scope notes because I think this one's leaning towards out of scope.
If it's Carlos is just raising mass, Cheryl, for the record, Carlos is raising mass hijacking, that's a different story to me.
So yeah.
I think we almost need this a little bit more specifically delineated in exactly what it means. If it's individual or limited number of domain hijacking, then it's not in scope. But if it gets to be seriously large numbers, then that might be another issue.
Well, and it may be that, I think the example that we were using is if if you could take a look at that little scope thing that I just wrote, does that sort of capture the thought that we've got here? Is the domain name hijacking, especially at the individual domain level, is out of scope? But that maybe if a lot of them were hijacked, would be something we want to consider, but that's probably best considered under the topic of how they did that mass hijacking. Domain hijacking within the registry is out. Hijacking via network or via protocol is in. Could we then, Jacques, this is for you, if we could then... Yeah, and there's Greg coming in. A mass hijack due to compromise of a registry equals authority compromise. So it sounds like the way to handle this is to take this one out of scope and then address it however the mass hijacking was accomplished, either via the network or via authority compromise. Let Jacques finish typing, and then presuming that he's agreeing with that approach. Yeah, see, then, Jacques, I think what we would say is packet interception is in scope, perhaps, as an attack vector, but that the hijacking is almost an artifact of the thing rather than the threat. Cheryl's off the fence. I think we're going to take this one out of scope. Last call on this one. Okay, going once, going twice. Here goes the... Ooh, that's pretty dark. Yeah, that's better. I like that better. Okay. Registrar impersonation phishing attacks. There's quite a lot about this. And the... thing out of the SAC 28 report was really this is the one by impersonating a registrar. Capturing registrant credentials through phishing attacks. How do we feel about this one as in scope or out of scope? Greg's got it out. Arturo's got it out. Another one for Cheryl is saying, so out for Cheryl. Okay, we're starting to see an early trend towards out of scope. Sean has got it out. Now, Rosella's got a in there. Well, we could capture that as... Who else would expose this, says Mark? Who else? You mean what other working group, Mark? If we don't, in other words, if we don't do it, then who else would do it? No. Getting a lot of out of scopes. Well, it wouldn't be quite the same as Jacques is submitting an authority compromise as a way out of this. I'm not sure. Well, yeah, it would be an authority compromise in this case of the registrant. That's true. That's a way to handle this.
Yep. Kind of cover it.
Jacques here.
Pardon me? Go ahead.
So if somebody takes a registrar credential, like the super user account,
Yeah.
Then the registry or the registrar is compromised.
Right. This could be addressed as a authority And I think that's the way back in, Mark, to your point, that we could raise it as a form of authority compromise. Put that in. Data poisoning. There's a bunch of stuff under here. RFC 3833 talked about it in terms of DNSSEC. There's the Kaminsky stuff, the Kasparov stuff. Greg's got that one out of scope still. Lots of in scope on that one.
Okay, Greg. Tell us why.
Yeah, Greg.
Calling Greg.
That might be an old hand. He's now, ooh, that's a neat symbol. He's got sort of this peculiar dash symbol in there. Speak to us, Greg.
He's stepping away.
Oh, he's stepping away. Coward.
He's running away after that one, I think.
All right. Well, let's see. I think we're getting pretty good in scope on this one, except for Greg's peculiar behavior. All right, we're going to put it in scope and then let Greg howl if he wants to.
Oh, I think he was affected by lag time.
I see, okay. Okay, so let me click away here. Oop. All right, footprinting. What's footprinting? Oh, this was out of Microsoft. I was going wild there for a while on Google search. But what do people think of footprinting? This is the process of building a diagram or a footprint of a DNS infrastructure by capturing DNS zone data, such as domain names, computer names, and IP addresses, for sensitive network resources. DNS domain and computer names often indicate the function or location of domains and computers. Cheryl, go ahead.
I was a little confused about what this meant. So with my declaring absolute naivety and only giving you a knee-jerk reaction on what that limited example of explanation is, I will say in scope. But I've not understood it. I have not delved into it, I have not analyzed it, and I claim no understanding of it in any way, depth-wise. So, you know, it looks like it should be in scope, but that is purely knee-jerk, and I need to make that a clear declaration.
Great disclaimer. I think that gets the disclaimer of the day award. Greg, go ahead.
I can't recall who had suggested this one, but what it sounds like to me is the kind of thing that, for example, hackers do. They scan networks to find machines, open ports, operating system boxes, using that kind of a thing. I mean, it's a behavior or a threat vector. But I don't understand how this qualifies as a threat to the DNS. It's just a behavior which can be, in some cases, bad, in some cases, not.
Mike, how can I put my hand up when I've still got my agree up? Do you know?
Oh, I think you have to choose.
Oh, well, all right. I'm clearing my agree temporarily. Just as a follow-up, Cheryl, for the record, just as a follow-up, Greg, or Jacques, indeed, can you help me understand why that is not a threat to security or stability? Because I'm happy to come off my, you know, knee-jerk reaction if I understand a little bit more.
This is Greg. It's a threat to the security of or stability of individual machines or systems, but I haven't heard yet how it's a threat to the DNS.
Okay, so it's a fairly focused and limited effect. It's not what we would, I guess, roughly define as a widespread or numerous machine effect.
So this is Jacques. So my internal network, I'm trying to protect from that. I don't want people to know what I have inside,
mm-hmm.
where my financial systems are and all that stuff. So I'm trying,
mm-hmm.
this is information we hide. And footprinting is a technique to discover your internal infrastructure.
Okay.
But if you publish the zone file for .com, then, you know, it's all there. It's not
sure.
a threat for that.
So it's a very narrow focus effector.
For enterprise.
But it's very narrow focus. Okay.
It falls in the category of a means to do something else that's in scope. So it might be a means to compromise critical resources, but it's not a threat in and of itself. I think this is falling in that ever-growing category of attack sectors or mechanisms rather than threats. Is that sort of where we're headed with this? We'll put this one out of scope. I may have just found this one, people. So, I'm not sure that this is one that necessarily has any credibility at all. Fast Flux. I think I can predict, the great Carnath predicts Greg Aaron's going to give this a thumbs down. Greg and I spent a lot of time together talking about
that. I earned that right by spending a year in a working group on that very topic.
Indeed you did. And I was the chair of that working group for the first half of that painful year until I flamed out and let James Bladel carry the football over the goal line. So I will join Greg in giving that one a thumbs down. Again, it's a mechanism in some cases, but that's it.
Got my hand up, Marky.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you. Cheryl Langdon, for the record. Based on our previous discussion and my education, thank you, gentlemen, I would suggest that whilst I am a card-carrying fan of Fast Flux being fixed, if at all possible, it is not. I would therefore assume, if we're using those prior definitions, and if I'm seeing this as a small or focused effect, not a generic effect, and therefore no threat to security and stability of the DNS, something that is in scope. Is that a fair and reasonable knee-jerk reaction from a end-user point of view? Because I'm if it's only just a few... Yeah.
It's this is Greg. Yeah, it's used to facilitate other things like, you know, hosting a website or send spam and, you know, things like that. And by the way, the numbers are not significant either. The number of domains being hosted this way, in comparison to the world of domains.
But it's not exactly threatening the security and stability of the DNS.
It is not, in my opinion. And that was the general consensus in the GNSO working group. So,
okay. Thank you.
Okay, last call before we place this one out of scope. There's a bunch going on in the chat. Carlos is saying FastFlux is employed as an evasion technique, but very similar techniques are sometimes legitimately employed by CDNs, for example. And so it's more a question of intent rather than a threat, and Rosella agrees there. I think we've got a pretty good consensus that that one's out of scope. Okay, IDN attacks, lookalike characters.
Hang on, let me clear my status here, Margie. You're not giving us clear status.
Ah, well, I wouldn't want that. On to IDN. Oh, you want to speak?
No. It went to... All I wanted to do was clear, and it's gone silly. Gee.
I'm trying to help you. There we go. Now it's all clear.
Phew.
Okay, IDN attacks, lookalike characters, etc., for standard exploitation techniques. This is the display and use of internationalized registration data, support for characters from local languages or scripts, and ESAC Report 37 is about this. Greg's got his hand up. Go ahead.
This is an issue of confusability. It's also an issue of individual domain names for the most part. I think what we're talking about here are homographic attacks. Is that correct?
I think that's right.
Okay. It's more of a theoretical usage than an actual usage. Rod Rasmussen and I track this for the anti-phishing working group. There have been two confirmed domain names of this type in the last 3 or 4 years. It's definitely out of scope for me.
Okay.
For those reasons.
We'll give it the same standard justifications. I'm using this scope to sort of mostly justify the reason we're taking things out of scope so that we can document that. Rosella, do you want to have... are you saying that this is in scope? Rosella's typing. We'll pause for a minute. Rosella's to us via the chat. And the chat is getting ready to explode. We should, Rosella says we should at least consider as a marginal threat that could be largely exploited in the future. We could do that. Or we could put it in our attack vector pile. It's primarily what people are trying to do with this. Carlos says, my concern here is on possible software bugs dealing with IDN string processing. Cheryl is on the fence.
I want it parked.
Or parked. Yeah, well, we could park it. If we leave it uncolored, not green, not red, then that means that it's for further discussion. I'm getting some enthusiasm for parking this. Okay.
Yeah, I just don't think we have the data yet.
Yeah, let's. If we're on the fence, there's no reason, especially on a lightly attended call, to plunge ahead. We don't have very many parked items, so it's not going to slow us way down if we have a few more. And so... Greg, are you okay if we park this one?
I feel pretty strongly it's a matter of individual domain names. So, that, you know, if you want to park it, I mean, that's
I think we better park it. We'll have a focused discussion about this, and we can do a little prep work and stuff like that. Okay. Next one is authenticated denial of domain names. This was in RFC 3833. And they, I did a very bad job of summarizing this. This was very early in my summarizing career. I apologize for this. So I'm going to try and remember what this was about. It had to do with authenticating the non-existence of a name. And I think this was all to do with their discussion of DNSSEC. And we may have to park this one because my memory is so lame as to what the actual situation was. Cheryl, go ahead.
Thank you. I may be the disclaimer, and please explain, Queen, for the call. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if we're talking about single or limited numbers of names, I don't understand how it could be a threat to the DNS security or stability.
Oh, that's a good point. And it was definitely that. It was an error.
In which case, I'd be giving it a thumbs down.
Yeah, I think that's true. We could certainly use that to stand on. It's not a widespread attack. All right, I could live with taking that one out of scope. Let me use my handy-dandy scope deal. All right. Got it clear.
Oh, it's every time I clear, it puts my hand up. Sorry.
It just knows you so well. Not going to go there. That's bad chair.
Best not to, Mikey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very best. Oh, my goodness. Look at all this stuff.
Wow.
There's a boatload of stuff. Let me thin this out a little bit so I can see what thickens we're talking about. Oh, this was all about... Gracious. Get this.
I'm getting dizzy just watching the screen,
sorry.
Mikey.
All right. I didn't pre-vet this. Okay, so this is... I think this is the mechanism to gain control of and gain authority. So this is.
I've got to put my
one we could handle a couple of different ways.
I've got to put my hand up here.
All right, go ahead. Cheryl for the record.
Cheryl for the record, and my response to this would be different if we are talking about registry versus registrar versus registrant.
Right.
So I can't deal with this one while those targets are bundled.
All right. So, well, what we could do is we could tentatively take registrant out of scope.
Yeah, happy with that.
Put registry and registrar in scope. How about that?
Well, that would be my view, but I don't know about everyone else's.
Well, if we did that caveat, let's see some thumbs up and thumbs down action on the list there. People are pondering this one. The mitigation then is out of scope. You know, because that's a registrant attack. So
They're interwoven where I'm not sure they should be, the way that mind map's done.
Yeah. And so what we'll do is we'll do this.
And yes, I agree with Jacques. It really could be defined under authorization. Couldn't say the word.
Right. All right, so let's do us a scope statement here that says, I mean, we could use these same, the same rationale that we've been using all along, which is that this is an attack vector, and certainly if it were against a registry or a registrar, especially a registry,
then it's an authorization issue.
Would be pretty catastrophic. But
it's also an authorization issue.
Right. So, I'm not hearing anybody lobbying hard for InScope. This is your last chance to lobby for InScope. Otherwise,
could it be an example of in the authority compromise section? So, I'd be tempted to move all of that discussion space up as one of the exemplaries under the.
Sorry to, all right, let's do that right now. This will take a second, because that's a giant tree under there. It's going to take a bit to push all that up under there, but it's my little, you can see my little computer working hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we'll do is we'll make this example. And we've got our registrant out of scope. That. Sorry to destroy your eyes. Look away from your screen for a minute so that I don't give you an epileptic fit. So this one is then gone. All right.
Good.
Next one, malicious or unintentional alteration of DNS configuration information as is described in SAC 44. I apologize in advance. This may explode your screen, too. It did. All right. There's a lot of mitigation. But there's the description from SAC 44. Maliciously introduce changes to the DNS name server configuration information associated with a domain name. It result in the resolution of the domain to an IP address other than the address registrant intended. This is starting to look pretty individual namey, pretty registranty. Such changes can result in the loss or disruption of the registrant's services, et cetera, et cetera. And given the theme that we're on, oh, we've got some in scope on this one, tendency coming from the group. Cheryl, go ahead.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the record. This is another one of those, if it's affecting a number, a larger or a significant number, then yes, it's in scope. And if it's a malicious or... malicious is probably going to be more than just, you know, one or two names. But if it's, you know, down to one name or even 100 names or even more, then that's probably not going to affect the stability and security of the DNS. So I'm one of those. It depends on the focus, narrow or wide. Thank you.
thumbs up saying it's in scope. Greg is pointing out correctly that SAC 44 is a registrant's guide to protecting domain name registration accounts. You've gotten that one. Yeah, and so I think I put this in not so much because of the registrant perspective, because I agree there, but from the perspective of if this was done to at either the registrar or the registry level. Now, Greg is pointing out this is an individual domain name issue or a group. So if Greg, what if let's take a ICANN participant with a lot of domain names like VeriSign or Verizon, and they had their DNS name server changed across all of VeriSign's domains. It's still at the domain, the subdomain level, rather than the top level domain level, which is really our focus. Greg is saying not an ICANN issue. It's not a threat to the DNS. I get that. So for those of you who've got your thumbs up saying this is in scope, let's hear some rationale. As to why this is in. I would tend to follow Craig's lead on this one.
I think Jacques wishes to speak. I think if his thumb's gone up and to the top, it probably means he's raised his hand.
Yeah, that probably is a clue. Go ahead, Jacques.
I got a... So the issue here, do you hear echo? No?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you can hear me fine. All right, I can hear you fine.
Okay. So DNSSEC-wise, when you think about that, so if a registrar changes all the keys by mistake and then they're invalid, so that's a stability issue, large
right.
scale.
Right. Yeah, I think that maybe the thing to do is I think the mistake that I made is that I used an example that's out of scope. But the example that Jacques just gave is an in-scope example of, if we were to say...
Yeah, good idea, Jacques. Park it.
Park. Good plan. I like that. Okay. Let's just... Contact, this is the same thing. It's the same exact issue. I think we're going to leave it. This might be a better example of the one that Greg is talking about, where this is really all individual domain name related. I'm going to just do a note here. So how's this one? In? We've got a couple outs. Anybody want this one in? This is actually a much cleaner example of the point that Greg is raising. Much more narrowly focused. I'm seeing this one going out of scope, and I would agree. Good. So now scope for the same reasons. And look at my little gizmo, call that out of scope. And noting that it's 5 minutes before the top of the hour, I think this is a good stopping point. We've covered another big chunk, direct attacks, today. There's no way we're going to get through the next chunk that's too big. So I think we'll call this the end of this call. And thanks to all. And we'll see you in a week.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
Everyone.